You'll stand and join me in the prayer for illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate us. Come, breath of heaven, and breathe life into us. Come, flame of love, and stir us. Come, dove of peace, and unite us. Come, giver of all gifts, and fill us. Amen. Scripture reading for today is found in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus journeyed to the village of Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, who had recently been raised from the dead, where they hosted him for dinner. Martha was busy serving as the hostess. Lazarus reclined at the table with him, and Mary took a pound of fine ointment, pure nard, which is both rare and expensive, and anointed Jesus' feet with it. And then she wiped them with her hair. As the pleasant fragrance of this extravagant ointment filled the entire house, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was plotting to betray Jesus, began to speak. How could she pour out this vast amount of fine oil? Why didn't she sell it? It is worth nearly a year's wages. The money could have been given to the poor. This had nothing to do with Judas' desire to help the poor. The truth is, he served as the treasurer, and he helped himself to the money from the common pot at every opportunity. Leave her alone. She has observed this custom in anticipation of the day of my burial. The poor are ever present, but I will be leaving. Word spread of Jesus' presence, and a large crowd was gathering to see Jesus and the formerly deceased Lazarus, whom he had brought back from the dead. The chief priests were secretly plotting Lazarus' murder scene since. Because of him, many Jews were leaving their teachings and believing in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I want to ask before I get started in my sermon this morning that we keep Gary Gilbert and the Gilbert family in our prayers as they are mourning the loss of Dottie and also a gentleman by the name of Roland and Thomas and his wife Jane. So if you'll add those names to your prayer list, I would be most appreciative. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me this morning because I fell yesterday and I hurt my shoulder and I'm a little bit in pain. But this morning we heard the story from the Gospel of John of Mary of Bethany. Not Mary Magdalene, not the unnamed woman, but Mary of Bethany, who is the person who anoints Jesus in the text today. This is the same Mary that is Martha's sister from Luke's Gospel. The same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus while her sister Martha complained. Tell her to get in this kitchen, Martha says to Jesus, but Mary would not come. Jesus, who responds to Martha in that Gospel of Luke, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the same Mary of Bethany who just a chapter earlier in John's Gospel came to where Jesus was and fell at his feet and in tears of grief said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Is this Mary who acted as a catalyst, stirring Jesus to act on his own grief and raise Lazarus from the dead? This is one of the few moments in scriptures where Jesus weeps. So we know that Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they are close friends. They are reclining at the table together. And there is such beauty and intimacy in this text. Mary taking the pound of nard, the pound of fine oil, and anointing Jesus' feet, wiping her hair over them. This truly is an act of adoration. It symbolizes that there truly was a powerful connection between Mary and Jesus. Now, we don't know if it's womanly intuition or simply deference or great love or just an act of gratitude for Lazarus's return. What a miracle. Or maybe it's all of these things that compel Mary to take that nard and anoint Jesus' feet. But what we do know is that it is an extravagant act. It is a passionate act. And it is a luxurious act, a very, very, very expensive oil. Judas is right. She could have sold it and given the money to the poor. But she didn't. And the entire house was filled with oil, with the fragrance of the oil. And I suspect that Mary carried the fragrance in her hair for a while until she was able to finally rinse it out. And I suspect that Jesus carried that simple act with him to the cross that day. Perhaps even still, Mary was choosing what is better. I think it's interesting that in our scripture reading this morning that Judas is the objector. Our scripture kind of alludes that maybe it's because he really wanted to get his hands on the money himself. But yet Jesus consents. Jesus even defends Mary, saying, "Leave her alone. She has observed this custom in anticipation of my burial." Consent is a powerful word these days, isn't it? In fact, we live in an age of consent, where we are becoming more and more aware of individual bodily autonomy. You don't have to take my word for it. You can just ask Joe Biden, right? Consent is a good and a holy thing. It keeps us safe, and it helps us keep others safe as well. And we tend to give consent to those we love, to those we know intimately and know well, to those with whom we have a history. My husband and I have given each other consent when it comes to affection and affirmation. We both agreed that each other's touch is very important to us. And yet even we still ask for or offer a hug or a kiss or an embrace when we need it. It honors the other person. Because I know this may surprise you, sometimes I just don't want to be touched by anybody. Sometimes I just want 30 minutes of silence and solitude to breathe. Time for me just to be with God. Consent is important. And there's another type of consent for us as followers of Christ. And that is consenting to the Christ who lives in us. Do you remember that Mary said to the angel, "Let it be unto me according to thy will"? Mary, the mother of God, Mary, the Christ-bearer, the God-bearer, the Theotokos, consented to the Holy Spirit to bearing Christ in the world. And just like her, we consent to bearing Christ in us. And like most things, it's a process and a journey to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, to transform us, to sanctify us into, as Paul says, little Christs in the world. And some days are better than others, for me at least. Some days it's easier to say, yes, God, and let go, and let God, and keep moving in the Spirit. And other days I'm like, oh, I am not feeling it. Give me a cave or a rock and let me rest. But I want to challenge us to see consent in light of today's story, where Mary adores and worships someone she knows intimately, the better path, the Messiah. And I want to challenge us to know better Jesus, to worship and adore and get to know Jesus intimately on a heart level and not just on a head level. I want to challenge us to consent to the transformation that God wants to bear in us. Because, friends, when we consent to God moving in and through us, transformation just naturally happens. Worship naturally happens. Adoration naturally happens. Praise naturally happens. We wake up singing, "Hallelujah, thanks be to God, I'm alive." There's a little song that comes to my mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be granted unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Do you know that song? Time and time and time again in our scriptures, Mary of Bethany seeks God first. Intimately, extravagantly, luxuriously. And I believe that when we seek God first, when we seek God out, when we seek to lavish attention onto God in very real and very vulnerable and very intimate ways, transformation is bound to happen. You see, Mary carried that smell of the nard, that fragrance with her. The feel of Jesus' feet in her hands, the wonder of the Messiah with her the rest of her life. She touched the very feet of God, friends. I can't help but think that that experience of the Holy shaped her. Now, in the Roman church, the hagiography, the story of Mary, lives on after the death and resurrection of Jesus as she and Martha and Lazarus get in a boat and sail to France. She is for many the model of the contemplative life, a life spent in God's lap of mystery and wonder, a life spent at the feet of Christ, always listening, always marveling, always adoring. Even when her sister was complaining. Even when Judas was saying, "Stop it, you're wasting money." What a model for us to put the kingdom of God first. How many times have we failed to do mission and ministry because it costs too much? How many times have we failed to live into God's kingdom because we just simply couldn't afford it? How many times have we not paid our tithe or our pledge because there just wasn't enough money to go around? How many times have we put off praying because we didn't have a moment to pause or to breathe? You know, in a few weeks, we will have a moment to pause and marvel and wonder at the foot of the cross. And in 2 short weeks, we will wrap the wounds of our lives, the places we need healing, around the cross in literal bandages, acknowledging that in Christ and with Christ and through Christ, we can find healing and comfort and new life. That for us as followers of Jesus, that Christ is our way and our truth and our light. So for these next 2 weeks, I want to challenge us to spend 15 minutes a day in silence and solitude with God. To spend 15 minutes a day in praise and adoration and worship. Minutes to pause and to breathe and to fall into the river of God's love for each and every one of us. And when you end your time, I want to challenge you to say, today I thank you, God, for. Today I thank you, God, for the breath of life that is within me. Today, I thank you, God, for the people who love me. Today, I thank you, God, for the people I love more than life itself. Today, I thank you, God. If you have others in your life, you could try doing this as a group or as a family. And if 15 minutes seems too much, start with 5 and work your way up. Because friends, we all need to pause and worship. We all need to pause and breathe. We all need to pause and fall into the river of God's love. So for 2 weeks, let's try it. What have we got to lose?